And then we will jump into the word of the Lord. The scripture today will come out of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 is where we'll start. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. I thank you now, God, that you are a good, good father. I thank you that as Brother Kevin and Coach Pardee are traveling and whoever else is with them, Lord, I pray for their safety. I pray that you'll dispatch angels all around the plane. And I pray, God, that you'll let them have a good flight, a good trip, and let them get home rested. God, I pray that you will this morning or whenever my brothers and sisters hear this message, Lord, that it'll help encourage us. It will help strengthen us. But more than anything, Lord, it will allow us to point back to you and recognize you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus. It will allow us to look back at you and feel grateful. It will allow us to look back at you and feel inspired and strengthened so that we can get closer to you. God, this morning, I pray that you'll move me out of the way and that you'll speak in such a way that it's so profound that it'll be confirmed many times to your people that their lives will forever be changed, that my life will forever be changed. We pray these things and we believe that you're exactly who you say that you are. And we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, just to set the backdrop, just for the sake of time, you have God's people who have went in and out of bondage. They've went in and out of serving the true God. They've served false idols for years and years and years. And you have Brother Ezra who gets everybody together and he begins to read from the Word of God. As he begins to read from the Word of God, the Bible says that there are several ministers there to help the people understand. There's several ministers there to help reveal the word of God, but ultimately it's God who begins to touch people's hearts and the people begin to cry. They begin to feel sorry. They begin to remorse. They had all these different emotions because their sin was revealed to them. They had all these different emotions because they knew that they had fallen short of the glory of God. They knew that they had disappointed the King of all kings. And brothers and sisters, today, I know that a lot of us feel like that in our own lives. We have a situation or an obstacle come up against us and we fall short. We didn't have the faith that we wished that we had. And at the end of the trial, we can look back and say, man, if I would have just believed more or had confidence that God was going to do exactly what God was going to do, then I wouldn't feel this shame or this guilt. Or a lot of us, when we do mess up and we fall short and we allow that sin that so easily besets us, when we allow that sin to creep in, we're so slow to go back to the King that tells us to come back to him and ask for forgiveness because he is faithful and just to forgive. You see, God didn't tell us, if you mess up, I want you to come back to me. He actually tells us when we mess up to make sure that we come back to him. We need to repent. We need to ask for forgiveness and come back to him because he is the source of all good things. Last week, the reason that I didn't get to share the word with everybody is because I got the absolute honor to go to the first baptism ever at my kid's school. Cahuta Arrows Kingdom Academy. I call it CAKA for short. It is the first time I think they've been in existence 2 or 3 years now. 2 years. That they've had a baptism. They had a young man and a young woman that decided instead of getting baptized any other place, they wanted to be baptized at their school, at their church. I got there and my brother is actually the one that did the officiating and he got up there and he spoke a word and then he had the honor to take the young kid, the boy down, Brother Kevin, down in the water. And man, when he came up out of the water, his family, his friends, his schoolmates, his teachers worshiped and praised the ever-living God. And I was back there, and if I'm not mistaken, I cried from the moment I walked in to the absolute last word spoken. It was an example, and then the lady went next, and she was baptized. And it was an example of what happens when we're unashamed of the gospel. It was a prime example to me. What happens when you allow the Lord to be your strength? So you have Ezra talking and he's explaining the word of God, and people they know that they've fallen short. People know that they've disappointed God. They know that they've done pretty much everything except what God's told them to do. They knew that God's been faithful. They knew that even though God had held their hand all along their lives, they knew that they kept rejecting him and rejecting him again, and they begin to feel guilt and remorse and these emotions. And you have Brother Ezra say this in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. You have Nehemiah saying, "Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them," verse 10. "And Nehemiah continued, 'Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord.'" So think about this. They're upset. They're scared. They're nervous. They're worried. They're definitely anxious because they've fallen short. The scripture has shown them, it has, in other words, revealed their sin to them. It has revealed their disobedience. They're anything but happy. And Brother Nehemiah and Ezra and all the priests are saying, "Listen, I want you to drink. I want you to party. I want you to get happy. I want you to do everything the exact opposite of what you're wanting to feel." It had to be a little confusing for the people. And then they said, "This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad." A verse right here everybody knows. "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." One more time. "Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." My word today, brothers and sisters, is when we face obstacles, when we face adversity, and yes, when we face trials and we disappoint God over and over again, is do not allow the enemy to make you feel dejected. Do not allow the enemy to make you feel like you're not part of the family. Never allow the enemy to make you feel like you're not worthy, because the Bible says that he that knew no sin became sin so that you and me might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's been a way, there's been a path created, and that path is by the blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God today wants you and me to know to don't be disappointed. Don't feel like we're a failure. Don't feel like we let him down again. To drink and to get merry and to allow the joy of the Lord to be your and my strength. You may say, "Brother Allen, how do you allow the joy of the Lord to be your strength?" And the answer is, you think back on times. King David, when he was in the caves and when he was going through adversity and his life hung in the balance, how did David get strength from the Lord? How did David, after facing all types of hell in his life, his best friend, his really, really close friends trying to kill him time and time again, how did David gain strength? How did David say, "My cup runneth over," in the middle of everything going wrong? Because King David looked back and said, "It was God who delivered me then, and it's God who's going to deliver me now." Today, I want you to know the same God that saw you through when you were a kid, through that pain or that rejection, or a young adult, or even now, that is the very same God that will pick you up, that has redeemed you and I, that has loved us in spite of, that has never given up hope in you and me. You see, God is not scared of my sin. God is not intimidated by your level of darkness. You see, the Bible says that the light made the darkness not even understand what was going on. In other words, you can take any level of darkness and you bring a light in there, and that light will shine. Darkness does not have the ability to put out light. And the enemy does not have the ability to put out the presence of the living God that is on the inside of you and me today. How do I get the Lord, the joy of the Lord to be my strength? I think back to what God did for me when I didn't deserve it. And you see, I don't have to think back to 15, 20 years ago when I was using drugs and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. I can think back to yesterday
Or maybe even this morning that I didn't handle something correctly, or I had a bad attitude. You see, I disappoint God on the daily. But He is faithful. He is exactly who He says that He is, and He is always right there, not based on my attitude, not based on my level of joy, not based on my level of holiness. He is always right there to pick me back up. He is Abba. He is a good, good Father, and He wants you to know that. He wants me to know that today. I shared a couple weeks ago that my brother-in-law's father had passed away. Obviously, an extremely, extremely hurtful and trying time for the family. Thank you definitely, definitely for your prayers. And God has been faithful, as always. And I can't remember if I've ever had the privilege to meet David's my brother-in-law. It's funny I'm talking about David, and David is my brother-in-law, but David, my brother-in-law, I don't remember if I've ever got to sit down. I don't think I have with his mom. But long story short, after her husband had passed, her and my sister and David come to the pharmacy. And my sister said that she was out in the car. So, you know, I immediately ran out there to go talk to her, to give her my condolences. I wanted to let her know we're praying for her. I wanted her to know that this trying time will pass. I wanted to let her know that joy will come in the morning. I wanted to let her know many, many different things. So I go out there, and immediately she takes my hand. I don't think I've ever met her. I know I've never sat down with her before. She takes my hand and she pulls me close, and she puts my face in her hands. This lady that has just lost her helpmate, this lady that had just lost her husband of, I'm not for sure how many years, I know it was a long time. This lady that I thought I was going out there to encourage, I'm supposed to be the one to deliver a powerful word to her. I'm supposed to be the one to tell her it's going to be okay. She takes my face in her hands, and she begins to prophesy to me under the power and the anointing of the Lord. She begins to encourage me. She begins to look at me and tell me things about how good God is, and about how faithful God is, and about the scripture and about the word of God that has forever inspired her. She begins to look at me and change me on the inside. And the only reason this lady that had just lost her helpmate, her husband, her best friend, that she was able to do that is because she knew what the joy of the Lord meant. She knew that she could look back and know that God was faithful then and He was faithful now. She could look back and be reminded that it was God that saw her through this adversity and saw her son through this adversity and her other children through this adversity. She was encouraging me in what I would say was one of her darkest hours. Brothers and sisters, today I want you to know that you are the person God has chosen to encourage somebody in your darkest hour. He wants you to pull from the joy of the Lord. He wants you to be reminded that you're His son, and that you're His daughter, and that you're loved and you're redeemed by the God of all creation. Today, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. One of the greatest adversities that I have ever in my life seen that stops you and me from having the joy of the Lord, from encouraging people, from being powerful in that hour, is fear. We're absolutely terrified that we'll mess up. We're absolutely terrified that maybe it wasn't God. Maybe it wasn't God telling me to tell this person this. So what if it wasn't? So what if you miss it? I believe if you miss it with the heart trying to do what God tells you to do, then God will still make it come to pass. God will still honor your word. We're about to start our volleyball games. And I was coaching the girls last night, and man, they're fun. Frustrating, but fun. And as I was coaching them, there's a couple of them that want to run to the ball with their hands already together, platforming. I'm a good volleyball coach. But they want to grab their hands together and run towards the ball because they're scared that they're not going to get there in time, or they're not going to be able to put their hands together in time to hit the volleyball. Obviously, you can run a lot faster with your hands separated, get there, get to the spot, then platform to hit the volleyball. I've told them time and time again, and I'll watch them miss the ball time and time again because they're so scared that they're not going to get there that it stops them from getting there. But a miracle happened last night, and I do mean a miracle. One of them finally listened. She ran over there, got her hands together, plenty of time, platformed, hit the ball back over. We got the point. It was a beautiful situation. I went crazy. I'm crazy. I get crazy in there. And I was celebrating, yes, because we got the point. But when I looked into the young lady's eyes, 8 or 9 years old, she was excited, yes, because we got the point, but she was excited because she did something I asked her to do that she was a little scared of. She was a little uncomfortable with. She didn't think that it was going to turn out the way I told her it was going to. You see, she had a choice to make. She could be scared and do it her way, or she could listen to the word and try it a different way and receive victory. And that's my word this morning. It's why don't we try it a little different? Why don't we allow fear to fall off of us? Why don't we allow anxiety and worry and depression to fall off of us a little bit and do what the word of God says? To allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength and run this race with patience. Run this race with endurance. Run this race that is set before us so that we can receive the end goal. Today, I want to encourage you that you can be like that 9-year-old little girl and you can run to that spot. You can run to God with your fear. You can run to God with your anxiety. You can run to God with everything that's not like Him and allow Him to be the one to replace it with joy. Allow Him to take your ashes and give you kindness. Allow Him to take your ashes and give you strength. He is good. And you could even be like David's mama. And when everybody thinks you're going to crumble, when everybody thinks you're going to be upset, and there's nothing wrong with mourning and being upset. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you this, she forever changed my life because she inspired me to be different. You can be like David's mama, and you can when everybody thinks that you're the one that needs strengthening, you're the one that needs encouragement. You can take somebody's face in your hands and you can tell them God is good. You can tell them about the scripture. You can tell them about how you love to hear the word of God. You can tell them, listen, this lady looked at me and she said, I can't wait to hear you preach. She said, I can't wait to hear what God has put on the inside of you. She looked at me and said, I'm ready to receive a word. In the middle of pain and confusion, she was ready to receive. Why? Because the joy of the Lord was her strength. I've seen people lose children, and I've seen people lose parents, and I've seen people in prison have more joy than people that have everything going on in their life. How? Why? Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you. I thank you for my experiences, God. I really do, Lord. And God, I thank you for David's mom. I do, Lord. I thank you that she was willing to prophesy to me. I thank you she was willing to encourage me. I thank you that you showed me how to handle adversity. And Lord, I thank you for that 8 or 9-year-old little girl that was willing to do it different, even though it might have been a little uncomfortable. It might have been a little scary. And God, I thank you for her victory. I thank you that that moment prophesied to me. It showed me, God, when we do it your way, that your way is the best way. And I pray today, God, for my brothers and sisters that's facing some situations, some trials, some tests, some whatever the adversity is, Lord, I pray today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I prophesy over them that the joy of the Lord is their strength. I speak strength into them, Yahweh. I thank you today, God, that they are blessed above and not beneath. I thank you that they are the lenders and not the borrowers. I thank you, God, that tests come back negative. I thank you, God, that they are more than victorious in you. I call them kings and I call them queens. I call them children of the living God. They are your people. We are your people, Yahweh. And when your word is revealed to us, when your word is shown to us, it's not meant to condemn us. It's not meant to disappoint us. It's meant to show us how good you are. It's meant to show us how loving you are. It's meant to show us your heart. And today, God, I can say my cup runneth over because I've seen your goodness. I've seen your love. And I pray for that for my brothers and sisters. God, where we fall short, please forgive us. But God, we're running back after you. We're not scared or anxious to come after you because you're the one that holds every good and perfect gift. And this day we say yes to you. This day we say hallelujah to you. This day we say thank you, God, for never, ever, ever disappointing. We pray these things by faith. We believe them. We seal them with our faith. And we say yes. We say them all in Jesus' name. Amen.